Hello, today is August the 17th, 2016 at 3 o'clock Seattle time, the last of the Ask Me Anything webinars. So we're going to be a little smaller this time. This is the last group, so I didn't feel like saying no to anybody, so I made extra time and extra groups. And as always, I've not looked at any of these questions ahead of time. I'll be answering them, the email questions I have in my email. And then I'll open it up to the couple of people who are here to see if they have any additional questions or any clarifications on my answers. All right, so let's get started. First question from Vincent is question number one. Am I mistaken that you don't prefer trend following or momentum-based strategies? Can you elaborate why? Is it due to win-loss, length of depth drawdown, time of recovery, having to buy breakouts versus pullbacks, holding time per position? This is probably one of the biggest myths about me. I think every Ask Me Anything group has asked me this particular question or some variation of this. It's not that I don't like trend following or momentum strategies. It's just that I'd say 80% of my research time looking for a trend following or momentum-based strategy that that I like. The problem I've been having, I think, I've got one rotational momentum strategy that I do trade, and it's probably got it's multi-month hold. I haven't really talked much about it just because it's, the length of the hold. But, the thing is, I think part of my problem is I've had my bar too high for these strategies, and maybe that's why I've not found anything. My bar has been in the 25% annual return since 2006. I think for these kind of trend following breakout momentum-based strategies, the high teens might be a more realistic returns to be expecting and shooting for. And that's because I'm trading also S&P 500, S&P 100 stocks. So that's, I haven't written much about it. I mean, I have some blog posts on it. It's not that like I said, I do have a strategy that I do trade that is longer term, I'd say, rotational / momentum based. It's harder for me to find strategies that I think people would get excited about in this realm. And it's a lot harder also developing strategies and understanding if they even beat random. I'm probably going to be doing a blog post in a short while about a strategy somebody sent me that was very dependent on ranking strategy, and it looked okay, not the greatest results, but then when I compared it to just creating a simple random strategy, it was not even a standard deviation above what I expected. So that is, like I said, they do have longer drawdowns or deeper drawdowns, but I don't think is a problem with me. Marcus, are you having a problem with my volume? Matt is complaining about my volume jumping up and down. Just if you can type in something real quick to tell me if the volume sounds fine to you. Okay, well, Matt, it might be something on your side. Hopefully it'll come in a little bit better. So that's, the win-loss ratio is is lower, but I'm willing to accept that. Like I said, my biggest reason for not doing a lot of this is just not finding any returns high enough what I'm looking for. All right, your next question is, I still find myself trying to fill my orders, buy, sell, at a more favorable price by watching the market through the day. Do you have any suggestions how to become more mechanical, entering orders to fill at market open and less discretionary? You know it right there. I don't want to be a day trader for me, so I don't want to watch the markets during the day, so it's really quite easy. I get in or I enter and exit the same three basic ways. Either at the open with a limit price if on an entry, or a TWAP order. So those are my, if I really want to try to get a better price or don't want to get, if I think I'm going to get screwed at the open, I'll enter a TWAP order, or I get out the open. If entry, I'll do a limit. So, unless you're looking to become a day trader and try to work an order, I just use Interactive Brokers TWAP order if I'm trying to, not get screwed around during that time. The hardest thing is, I would try doing some at the open and compare that to when you try to do that, fill half your order at the open and fill half your order trying to work it throughout the day and see which is producing the better results. Maybe you are producing better results doing that way. Or maybe you realize it's just, you're wasting a whole bunch of time and you're getting worse results. That's always a great experiment to do. I know a research friend of mine just was doing experiments on different type of interactive broker algorithmic entries and exits. And so he split his orders two ways and to see, you know, which one produced better results. And, you know, that's just, you know, you can do the same thing. All right, next question is, let's see. All right, from Marcus. I would like to ask you more on why you always test at buying at the open. For me, that is the time when you're least likely to get fills that matches the BACS test. All right, so let's start with that question. This is a common myth, enough that I kind of sort of believed it too. This year, I went through my strategy, Big Cap Alpha. I looked at every trade I took during the first 6 months, and I think there was like 100 odd some trades during that time period. Maybe even more. You know, any individual trade, you're right, could vary dramatically from what the back tests would say. You know, I'd often get exactly, you know, I'd say half the trades at least were getting within a penny of the open price, and the other half-ish were, you know, or there was some, you know, variation away from that. You know, some trades was even as much as 1%. But here's the most important part. When I took the average slippage of my entries and exits, at the end of the day, my slippage was minus 0.01%, so nearly matching exactly my back-tested results. And my back-tested results assume a penny per share commission. In actuality, I am trading at half a penny per share. So at the end of the day, I am, you know, over 100 trades, 150 trades, I am not seeing any real slippage on that front. Now, what can happen is if you've got $1 billion, let's say, being, or $1 million, you know, several $1 million being placed at the open, yeah, you'll move that open price quite a bit, and you'll see it both in your back test and your entry, and all of a sudden you'll see your edge disappear because, you know, after you've been screwed at the open, then, you know, the price will drop or move dramatically afterwards. So that is actually the bigger thing, is if too much money starts trading at the open, you can see huge gaps one way or the other, and that's something else to be watch out for. But like I said, I thought, you know, there was potential not to get filled at that open price, but my test beginning of this year shows quite to the contrary that I was matching my back test results. I know you might look into options in the future, and I would like to ask you more about that. Okay, actually, there was no real question there. Yeah, I look into options every now and then. The hard part about options is it's very hard to quantify because there was no, at least a couple years ago, the options data was very, very dirty. Lots of problems, and it's a pain in the butt to test options at Ami Broker. You can do it, but it requires jumping through a lot of hoops. So I'm always just, you know, I'm looking at it, always playing around with it, but never really finding anything that matches what I'm looking for. I got an options idea now that, you know, that I'm interested in. But the problem with options is you can't just place market orders. You have to work the orders, you know, try to split the bid ask. And that's, you know, for me, I don't like watching the market in the middle of the day and trading options. I think you really have to. And, you know, that's just not me. So I have kind of a love-hate relationship with options. Also, next question. Also, combining end-of-day mean reverse strategies with intraday limit orders would be interesting to talk about, since I know you did some testing on that. I'm not sure what you mean by that, Marcus. Yes. I'm not sure. If you could send me a text, or not text, but within the chat window, kind of elaborate on that one. If you could elaborate on that one. And then you asked, what kind of order do I place when I exit at the open? I do a market on open, which is an interactive broker's order entry type. So that's what I do there. So if you could explain your message a little bit better about combining end-of-day mean reversion strategies with intraday limit orders. I'm not sure exactly what you mean by that. That'd be appreciated. All right, next question is, my question, all right, from Jack. I've been using various strategies that all began with TPS. So TPS, for those that aren't familiar with it, is a strategy that was developed while I was working with Larry Connors to trade ETFs. I increased my net worth by over 17% last year utilizing these strategies alone with my little modifications. but the biggest outstanding challenge is still one we discussed years ago. Is there any systematic way to use a stop loss on these ETF trades? So 3x leverage ETFs can generate 10% losses on a full spot. Really irritating. But obviously, a number of these negative excursions come back into the green. We're sure there's some magic way to know statistically what kind of stop loss can maximize TPS type strategies. So TPS strategy is basically a mean reversion strategy for those of you that aren't familiar with it. It's a mean reversion scale in as the price goes against you. So you're actually increasing your position size as you get more losses. These are a very interesting method, but again, there is no stop. And Jack, to answer your question, stops, you know, as you know, every time you put a stop on a mean reversion strategy, it really tends to really hurt the returns. You know, it sucks losing 10% or even more. Trust me, I was trading a leverage ETF strategy for a while with no stops, or very large stops, I should say. And I feel your pain. I don't know of any way. I'll sometimes put stops in a strategy knowing that it will reduce the returns with not necessarily helping the drawdowns, but I know psychologically it becomes helpful sometimes to have those stops. And, you know, sometimes that's what you do. You put in those stops not necessarily to improve returns or improve drawdowns, but to improve the chances that you will continue to trade the strategy. And that, to me, is the most common way a strategy fails, in a sense, is that, you know, we stop trading the strategy just because it's going through a drawdown or something psychologically happens within the strategy that makes you stop trading it. So, you know, if you need that stop, you know, I don't know if you have the ability to test, you know, test some stops, put a stop in there, you know, and say, okay, I'm willing to give up a little bit of return, a little bit of drawdown to have a psychologically better strategy to trade. All right. Marcus has clarified his question, so let's get back to this. Let's say you have a daily mean reversion setup, zooming into a H1, I'm not sure what H1 means, and looking for another setup there, then adding perhaps a setup on M15 also. Have you looked at if the extra setups on H1 and M15 adds to the average trade? You're talking hourly. Yes, I have not looked at anything along those lines, mostly because I don't have intraday data. So it's not something I can look at. I mean, I have done in the past limit entry strategies. So, you know, something sets up and you get in the next day, you know, 5% lower than the previous close. And you don't need intraday data for that because you just can look at the low of the day and say, okay, you know, the low is below that price. So I can safely assume I got filled. Unfortunately, I don't have intraday data to test something like that. It is a very common request. The biggest issue with intraday data is not getting the data, in a sense, is getting the data for delisted stocks and getting the data for, you know, index constituents and all that and the historical constituents. So that's the biggest problem, like I said. All right, so let's go on to the next question. No question there. All right. Question from Matt. How do you come up with the underlying idea for a brand new trading strategy? I will say I very rarely have my own unique idea. I read Quantocracy. I read a whole bunch of other blogs and just keep, you know, kind of keep my eye out for interesting things. Often what happens is I'll read something that sparks an idea. It's like not necessarily like, oh, that idea is going to work, because very rarely is somebody going to publish some idea that 100% works for you to trade. You know, even if the strategy had a good return, so there's always a question of, oh, well, it's got the drawdowns are too big or the exposure is too low. There's always something wrong with any published research. I'm trying to make it right for you. So, like I said, I get my ideas from other research. I'll read something and I'll say, okay, let me see how I can build on that. Let me add my own twist to that. Let me improve on some numbers. You know, like for me, my major numbers are annual returns and max drawdown, or the top five max drawdowns. So that is where I develop my strategies. You know, very rarely do I get an idea completely out of the blue. I mean, the closest I get from out of the blue is research that I did, may have done a long time ago and realized, oh, wait a second, maybe, you know, maybe if I did this twist to it, it might become interesting. Again, it's I don't get the out of blue ideas. I get, you know, I'm really good at looking at other people's research and saying, oh, how can I improve on it? How can I make it better? So that's how I get my trading ideas. All right. Let me see if we get any more questions. Going through the last few here. All right, we are done with the sent in questions. So Marcus and Matt, who are on here, if you have any other questions you would like me to answer, feel free to unmute your microphone, ask your question, and then, or you can type it in. So, all right, first question we got here is, do you think walk-forward analysis works? that's a loaded question there. I'm getting in trouble for that one. Let me answer it to the, I'll answer it this way. I do not personally use walk-forward analysis. I think the reason I don't use it is it adds yet another dimension of, because when you do walk-forward analysis, you're optimizing over, you know, some last time period, let's say over the last year, over some variables, let's say you've got 100 variations. So now you've got those 100 variations, you know, let's say it's, we'll pretend it's a very simple mean reversion strategy, where you're, you know, optimizing on your mean reversion entry value and your mean reversion exit value. So now you've got to create a yet another variable, which is, you know, whether you create it or, you know, usually it's created because, you know, what are, you know, when you do walk forward, you've got to take that optimization and decide what is the best run, and that's what you're going to do for the next time period for your out of sample period. And often it's some, you know, you've got to create some formula that takes into, you know, the return for the last year plus its drawdown or winning trades or average trades or number of trades. So now you're making things a lot more complicated. And now you're making a huge assumption that what's worked over the last year is going to continue working over the next year, which may or may not be true. And then the other problem is, are you going to get enough trades over your look back period? You know, if you've got something that doesn't trade that often, you're going to have a very large look back period, in which I think just is all, I don't know. I've just never been a huge fan of it. I know, you know, some other people won't trade a strategy unless it was built using walk forward analysis. The main thing about any of this is that walk forward, Monte Carlo, in sample, out of sample, not doing it at all, is whatever method you use, it's got to make you confident that your strategy is worthwhile to trade. It's your strategy, it's your money. You know, so it's got to be what you decide. You know what? If you decide, you know what, I don't want to do walk forward analysis, I don't want to do Monte Carlo analysis, I don't want to do in sample, out of sample, I'm just going to test over my whole time period. I'm going to pick a strategy. I'm going to trade it. You know what? If that works for you, great. I'm sure, you know, you'll find dozens of people will tell you, you know, that's not the way to do it. You have to do X, Y, Z. It doesn't matter. It's your money. If you're confident with it, then you do it. You know, I don't like walk forward analysis. You know what? For my money, I don't have to, you know, I do other things. I do Monte Carlo. I do in sample, out of sample sometimes. So, you know, there's just different ways of confirming things. And like I said, at the end of the day, it's your money, and you have to decide, are your methods making you comfortable to trade your strategy? Because like I said, I believe at the end of the day, it's not the strategy that fails, it's the person trading the strategy that fails to follow the strategy. That's usually what happens first. All right, next question. Oh, perfect, perfect timing here. Do you believe it's possible to trade the equity curve? I keep meaning to do a blog post on this. Everything I've done, you know, again, there's no black and white. It's everything's gray. And what I say, you know, even though I've done a lot of research on trying to trade the equity curve, and none of it has ever panned out. Now that doesn't mean trading the equity curve won't work. Maybe it has to do with the strategy types that I was, you know, doing, mostly mean reversion, but I've also tried to untrend following. Maybe it's the method I was using, you know, moving averages. Maybe you got to do something else. So, I have not had any success. That is on my infinitely huge list of blog posts to write about, is showing, you know, just going through an example of trading the equity curve. And just seeing what other people think of that. And, you know, maybe somebody else can give me an idea that might work. But like I said, I've not had any success trying to trade the equity curve. The better success I've had is, is doing market regimes, deciding, when my strategy is, should be trading in a market and when it shouldn't be. The problem also with trading the equity curve is most people, if you trade the equity curve, then you got to do your back test trading the equity curve. And most people don't do that. They do a back test, and then they do real life trading, and then they add trade the equity curve. And they don't, it's like, wait a second, you're not trading what you back tested. So that's also another problem. So most people don't trade the equity curve in their back test to see how it did in the actual, back test results. So that's another, that's another difficulty I have with the whole trading the equity curve issue. So hopefully that answers that. Man, Marcus, you're good. Got them ready right when I answer them. What is your opinion about how volume affects mean reversion strategies? Is low volume a good / bad or vice versa? This is one of those topics I keep coming back to in my own research every couple of years. At the end of the day, I've not found volume to make much of a difference on mean reversion strategies. I've tried looking at low volume, high volume, medium volume, versus various time frames. Nothing has seemed to pan out. The only place I've discovered that volume seems to make a difference, and don't ask me what the values is because I don't remember right now, is on breakout kind of strategies. I think if I remember right, you want some increase in volume, but I don't remember what it was. There's a breakout strategy that I'm doing a presentation on that, showed that, yes, the volume seemed to be helped there. But for mean reversion strategies, I have not found volume, like I said, to be of any use. That's yet another good one. Your next one. What is the measure you prefer to look at when you evaluate something improves a system? Like I said, my two biggest things that I look at when just evaluating any strategy are the annual returns and the top five drawdowns. So when I add an additional rule to a strategy, I want to see one of those two take what I will call, in quote, a significant improvement. If it's only a small improvement, I don't like doing small improvements because it's probably just noise. One thing I like to do after I've developed a strategy is go through each of the rules of a strategy and take them out and see, does taking out this rule now, does it really hurt the strategy dramatically? I think that's a great way to see if you've accidentally now added rules that really don't do any improvements. And I'm always quite surprised when I start taking out rules and realize, oh my goodness, this rule's not really doing anything. I can just take it out. Again, you want things to be a little bit, you don't want them really simple because I believe all the simple stuff has already been mined out. But I do believe in simple strategies. So you want things simple but with a complex twist in them. So it's not easy for other people to find. Hopefully that answers that question there. What is your experience with mean reversion in small cap stocks? Oh, you're opening up a painful area for me right now. It used to be great. I used to love trading mean reversion of small cap stocks. I'd say until maybe 2 years ago. Sometime in the last 2 years, I've seen my mean reversion strategy on small cap stocks it has not performed as well. And I think it's because of these small cap stocks. I'm just getting hurt a lot more often, and they're just not working at all as well as it used to. I'm not sure what to blame it on. It may just be, no strategy works 100% of the time. So just maybe it's just not the time for it to be working for the last, I'd say, last year and a half, 2 years. I was just looking at it the other day, wondering, is it time to kill that strategy? Because it is a pretty big drawdown. It's like I said, it used to really do really quite well for me. So I'm close to I evaluate strategies 3 times a year or 4 times a year on each quarter to decide whether I want to continue trading them or not. This one's coming up on, you know, we're coming up to that time frame, and it'll be interesting to see whether I decide to keep trading it or not, or deciding whether the drawdown is deep enough that I'm and long enough to say, you know what, this is out of the norm and I think it may be broken. Or, you know, something to put on the side and maybe revisit in a couple of years. So there's, like I said, used to make tons of money off of that, not so the last couple of years. Maybe it's just the type of market we're in. Next question, what makes you want to look at options and what inefficiency do you think a strategy of options would exploit? Why do I want to look at options? Because it's much, much harder to test that and to test them properly. I think, and the data is not clean. It's hard to get good data. So unlike, now or any, there are a whole bunch of sites now, AmiBroker make it easy to test strategies. And I think that's that in itself is, reduce the edges on a lot of things. Not so for options. There are some platforms that let you test it, but not, I don't think they let you test it sophisticated. And I think, like I said, the dealing with rollover and all those things makes it a lot harder. So that's why I think that would be really good. As opposed to what inefficiency, I think, especially with weekly options or, things that are expiring soon, I think there's definitely an inefficiency there. When there's the opportunity for things to move a lot more than expected. But like I said, the biggest problem I have with options is you can't just place market orders on them. I've tried that a couple of times and you just get screwed big time. And then, that means working your limit orders and, that means becoming a, trading in the middle of the day. And like I said, I like to do my research in the middle of the day and not watch the markets. One of these days, maybe I'll find something or decide to spend a lot of time on that front. But as for now, like I said, I kind of revisit it maybe once or twice a year. It's been a couple of months, so it's probably still a couple of months before I get my hankering to take a look at it. All right, next question. Oh, man, I keep thinking you're done. This is always a fun one to answer. How come you left Larry Connors to work on your own? Multiple reasons. First of all, I thoroughly loved working for Larry. I learned a ton from him. He gave me my break and, doing all this stuff. And, I'm thoroughly grateful for that. What happened was a confluence of events. I happened to have lunch with a friend of mine who was working at a startup who were, they were looking for a development manager. I usually tell people, I'm only interested if I can work part-time, and that usually stops the conversation cold. But it actually ended up they were quite happy to hire a development manager part-time. And then at that point, I had to really say, oh, wait a second, I wasn't really looking for a job. After thinking about it, realizing, I've been working for Larry for 9 years. I had an opportunity to get back into software development, which I really love to do. And then, if I was able to do that part-time, that would let me to, go out and do my own thing, right? Start a blog that I, wanted to do. Develop some courses and some signal services and do other things. So, I saw it as a perfect opportunity to go out and, go out on my own. And, it's been fun. Again, I've been, been doing this for almost exactly 3 years now. And, I got to meet lots of people, talk to people like you guys, and, I'm enjoying it. And hopefully, somebody was asking me, where do I want to be 5 years from now? That's my question. My answer to that is, if I'm doing exactly what I'm doing right now, 5 years from now, I'm a happy camper. So hopefully it'll keep up. So that is the answer why I left. Any other questions, Marcus? Oh, wow, Marcus is done. Now, that was good. Nice, lots of great questions there, Marcus. All right, let me see if any email is coming from anybody who said they were coming in. No, there isn't. All right, so Marcus is done. Matt, do you have any questions? I know we talk quite a bit, but maybe you've got some questions you want to ask. Okay, Matt is good. So this is good. All right, so thank you so much, guys. I really enjoyed this. Like I said, these I will get these I will get these updated and put up on my blog probably next week or two. And listen to these, and if you've got any questions I didn't answer to your liking, or you have more questions or different questions, just shoot me an email, and I'm more than happy to answer them. And if I can't answer them over email, maybe we can do a Skype call. All right, thank you, and goodbye, and good night, everybody.